Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome, Hurricane Erica survivors. We were speaking in the back earlier about they scare us to death and then they go away. I'm thankful that they go away, aren't you? Amen, amen. Well, we are blessed and grateful that you all have come out this morning and get to share in this time of worship. We still worship God even in the storm.
Amen.
You agree?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Just a couple of quick announcements this morning. Fill out your Connect cards. You'll find them in your bulletin. Drop them in the offering plate this morning as it comes around. Indicate any messages you would like for me or the office to receive. And you can indicate them on there as well. Actually, September 13th. All this information is in your bulletin, but we certainly want to... Miss Ruthie is holding up her bulletin insert. That's how you register your attendance for that and what you would like to bring, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so look that up. What that is Grandparents' Day, potluck luncheon on September 13th. So we're letting you know in plenty of time to prepare your best dish to share and to let us know that you're going to come so we know how many to prepare for as well. We've had 2 weeks now of our Thursday evening praise gathering. We are enjoying our music and just a great time of fellowship. I would encourage you all to come out and join us for that Thursday evening at 7 o'clock. And invite your friends, neighbors, relatives, and people you don't even know. So you should have someone that you can invite, right? Absolutely. We're having a great time and I just encourage you all to... Some of your unchurched friends or family, this is a good way to get them into church in a very non-threatening manner, and we don't beat them up with a Bible or anything. We just have some good praise music and a time of fellowship and a scripture or two, and we sure would like for you all to come out and bring your family and friends to that as well. Our baseball game that was rained out a couple of weeks ago is today. I'm not going. As far as I know, they're going to give it a shot right up until the time they play at 5:30. I know there's only a week or two left in the season, but you can use your tickets for any other game during the season as well. But I don't think I'm going to drive all the way up there today just to turn around and come back home. So use your own judgment on that. It may surprise us and we'll have a ball game today. But that was certainly... planned with the best of intentions, that's for sure. Matthew Beals yesterday, as usual, our great group of servants that come and prepare that time for us and serve meals. We had 16 volunteers yesterday in the wake of the storm, and they served 171 hot meals.
Wow.
So even in the midst of the storm, participated in that, be sure to drop your salty service cards on the offering plate. I haven't mentioned it in a while, but the salty service, you see the cards in your pews there in front of you. If you've done some act of service this week of an hour or so, even if it's visiting with a neighbor or something that you've done to show the love of God to our community, you can certainly drop a salty service card in the offering plate every Sunday that you do that as well. And Matthew Beals certainly qualifies for that. That's our announcements for today. There's a lot of good stuff in your bulletin. The newsletter has come out at the first of the month. Myra, what's up?
I am not in an extended care facility. I went there to stay one night for somebody else, and they keep putting me in that I'm there. I am not. I am in my own home in Dublin, presently.
And she's here today.
Yes.
Well, Myra, I don't see you in the bulletin in the extended care, but we can talk about that later. You're not in there, so. But anyway, continue to lift Myra up in your prayers. We love you, Myra. Let's now prepare our hearts and minds for worship this morning.
Good morning.
Yeah.
Sorry, I forgot to ask you to do that.
Good morning. Will you join me in the call to worship? The Creator, the unchangeable character of God will never fail.
We are the first child of God's harvest.
Welcome God's word into your hearts.
We welcome God's transforming word.
And now our opening hymn is number 92, For the Beauty of the World.
Oh,
Good morning. How are you guys? Are you clean this morning? Did you take a shower or a bath this morning? Yesterday? I take mine on Saturdays. How about you guys? Devin, did you have a shower this morning?
Saturday night.
Next week? Okay. Devin and I will be taking our mom. Yes, next week will be fine. Okay, today when we're out messing around, we go to, what's your favorite fast food place? You don't have, okay, I'm not talking to you. You like Wendy's, McDonald's, Burger King? Wendy's? When we go to Wendy's, because you can see the people back there fixing your food, right? See, I'm picking my nose. What if you look back there and somebody was doing this? And then they fix your hamburger. And then they put it up there in the little tray. What would you do? Boy, they don't know what they would do. When we go into the doctor's office or the hospital, I go to the hospital a lot, and assume at every corner I turn in the hospital, there's one of those little dispensers that do what? That hand sanitizer, right? So if you use that about 20 times a day, the skin's going to fall off your hands, right? But your hands are going to be clean, aren't they? Well, back to Wendy's, because we can't give Wendy's a bad rap here. Don't they wear gloves when they're fixing your food? Well, then I thought about, well, if they had those gloves on since 10 o'clock this morning, and it's not 3 in the afternoon, I wonder if they've only touched food for 5 hours. You ask, where am I going with this, right?
McDonald's.
Let's go to McDonald's. I've already been to McDonald's this morning. Right? Yeah. Okay. Is it only good that we clean our hands before we eat or clean ourselves up before we come to church? This is where it gets complicated. Our scripture today is going to talk about a clean heart. Is a clean heart anything like our clean hands when we eat something? No, not really. It has nothing to do with it, does it? So what we're talking about being clean, does God and Jesus help clean us, purify us, clean us? So if we read our Bible, if we go to Sunday school and go to church, does that help us have a clean heart? Yeah. I'm hoping so. That's what all these folks are hoping for. That they can come to church, and that helps them have a clean heart. So no matter how many times we take a shower or wash our hands or put the hand sanitizer on ourselves, that's not really doing anything for our heart, is it? So if our clean heart only comes from God through Jesus, what do we have to do to live a clean life? You're sort of doing it this morning, right? We come to church, we worship. Do you say a prayer at least once a day? Do all of you pray at least once a day? Well, if you don't, I'm encouraging you to try to do that. Because the more we pray, the more we spend time, you know, and it's not about just opening up your Bible and just reading through the Bible without figuring out what it's telling us. Sometimes we only need to read one line in the Bible, and it just impacts our life. It gives us a clean, pure heart. So that's what I want to encourage you this week. When you say your prayer, take a minute or two when you have a prayer. You can do it when you're getting ready to go to bed. Have a prayer. Or when you get up in the morning with your meal, when you eat your meals at McDonald's, it doesn't hurt to say a little prayer while you're having your meal. Pray for those hands in the back in the kitchen to clean this morning. Well, that even gives you something else to pray for. And pray for that person that made your breakfast this morning. So we're all going to work on our clean, pure hearts, right? Okay, good deal. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the message that James is bringing us this morning of purifying ourselves for God, through God, and with God.
Father, be with us now as we go about our day. Let us continue to learn and grow in our faith in you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Good job, guys. Keep an eye on those in your food a little closer from now on. Okay? Thanks, guys. I encourage them to do, I hope each one of you spend some time each day with the Lord. If you're not, you're missing a tremendous blessing. You're missing out on what God has for you, which is only good. And it helps purify our hearts. Our message is going to reflect that today. It's the time now we come before you, God, in prayer. Bring our troubles to the foot of the cross. I encourage you now to be in the spirit of prayer as we lift up these names that have been brought before us this morning. Pastor Peter is still under the weather and having balance issues. Continue to pray for him as well. Mary Ann Davis is still recovering and healing from her surgery. Richard Fearman, of course, still under hospice care. I visited with him on Thursday, and he's still got a great spirit about it. Tony Crispino, he hasn't been here for a couple of weeks, so I'm thinking he might be having a little more serious problem with his health as well. He's had some lung and throat issues. It's good to see Lois Mahoney here today. We're obviously praying for her. It's great to see you. There you are, right in front of looking around. You throw me off when you're not required, see? But we are so blessed that Lois is back and obviously recovering quite well. George Graff, yes, cancer. Wendy Linderson Graff's father-in-law, George Graff, of cancer. We have a praise from Alex. Robert Smith is in remission from cancer at this time. Praise the Lord. Ralph and Tony, that are having medical problems. Comfort for Richard. We're praying for family and job issues. For the Schneider family, continue to pray for them this week as well. Catriona, as she's traveling up to Shams Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday to have her checked up, so we're lifting Cat up. Praise for Jean to have a great birthday. Andy as well is asking just for a strong faith and for success in job and his job, and for just health and love. Gregory Halvin is 30 years old, so he's celebrating his birthday.
Yeah.
Amen. You know, there's ones on your heart this morning, situations and folks that we've brought to the cross this morning. So now let's bow our heads and pray together. Gracious and loving God, we are so grateful that you have come and delivered us from evil. You are in the process of preparing our hearts with your purity. Father, as we explore the gospel of the writings of James this morning, Father, he's reminding us of balancing our lives between the pursuit of things that are not of you and things that are good. Father, let us reach that balance. Let us reach and strive for a pure heart. Father, we ask you to clean us of our imperfections this morning. Father, today we're lifting up all of those mentioned here by name and those that have gone silent but are remembered in our hearts this morning. Father, loved ones, family, friends, folks we may just be acquaintances of that need the power of the Holy Spirit within them. Father, we lift them up to you today. Father, we are grateful that the storm that has been brewing for several days has now aimlessly missed us. And Father, we pray that wherever its final destination is, that no one will receive more than just rainfall. Father, we lift up the people of Dominica, where 20 people lost their lives because of rain.
Father, we pray for their families. We pray for the loss they've suffered. We pray for your divine guidance for those folks. Father, we pray today for a hurting and darkened world. Father, senseless murders of police officers filling up their car with gas. What a senseless, senseless thing. Father, those who risk their lives to keep us safe now seem to be in the crosshairs of people that live in darkness. Father, protect them. Protect our military and those serving our country in whatever capacity you've called them in. Keep them safe. Return them safely to their families and to this country that is grateful and loves them. So, Father, despite the troubles of the world, the evil that we see on a daily basis, we should be living a life of purity, taking ourselves away from sin and learning from the Word of God to live a pure life. I pray that for each one of us here today. So be with us in this time of worship. Be with us as we glorify your name and give praise and thanksgiving to a loving, giving, grace-filled Savior. For that we are grateful. And for that we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Thank you. seek the blessing of God. In His name we pray. Amen.
And if you would remain standing, please, for the hymn of preparation. It's going to be found on page 596 and also on the PowerPoint.
Religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue,
He deceives himself, and his religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. And God had a blessing for the reading of his word. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the strong words from James this morning. Let us take these words from this place and live them out in our lives. Father, be with us. Let this message touch our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Good old James. I really like James. And the truth that he's speaking of this morning in this scripture is true for us. Amen? Did any of you squirm when we read aloud about keeping your tongue tame? Good. You're not deceiving yourselves in that realm. Even myself can have a tongue that needs to be tamed, believe it or not. You be quiet. As hers as well. Yeah. What James is telling us this morning is that if it is serious enough for us to take our faith, are we to just hear these words and say, oh, that was nice, leave this place, and cuss the person out here on the street that cuts us off in traffic? Your religion is not worth the 2 cents you put in the plate this morning. Folks, we have got to do a better job of living out these words from James. Are we willing to listen to God and to take that message and file it away somewhere? In our prayer, I spoke of the evil in this world. How can we be upright and upstanding in a world? Is the world just falling apart today, or has it been falling apart for a while? You know, every generation says, oh, this is the worst it's ever been. What has happened to people? I talked to some of you when you were young, and you were saying the same thing back then. Just about different things, different contexts. Our world is an evil and dark place. When we listen to God's word, three things need to happen. For one, we need to modify our behavior. Does anyone in here besides me need behavior modification this morning? Okay, listen to what I'm telling you. Because now you're being told officially, and if you don't use it the way you should, shame on you. There's three things we need to do. We need to hear God's word. Where do we hear God's word? As I ask the young people, do you read your Bible when you're not in church? Some of us don't even read the Bible in church. I used to say when I came here, pull those Bibles out of the pew, dust them off, and read along with me in the scripture. I didn't see many of you doing that. So I would read it to you. I would spoon feed it to you. And then we got some complaints that why don't you put the scripture up here? It would be easier. Okay. What do we do now? We put the scripture up here. Let me ask you, because now I am getting on you a little bit. Is that the only scripture you read during the week? Is what we put up here on this PowerPoint? That's not good, folks. We need to hear the word, wherever that is. Bible study. We have Bible study on Wednesday nights. We have a nice group, but I don't see every one of you here on Wednesday nights. I see a few of you here on Wednesday nights. We delve into the word of God. We get our midweek boost. They have Sunday school on Sunday morning. They're feeding on the word of God. In reality, those are the only opportunities we as a church are offering our congregation to come and be in the Word of God. On Thursday nights, we've started something new. I read a scripture. I'm 2 weeks into it, but Thursday night I read a scripture. And I dwell from this point forward. Because when do we get a chance to hear the Word of God? That's the first thing. First, we need to hear it. You think there was an accident in the planning of God's planning that He gave us 2 ears and 1 mouth? I love this. This has all been around for a long time. Why is it that God gave us 2 ears and 1 mouth? We should listen twice as much as we talk, shouldn't we? He expects us to spend more time listening than speaking. When we pray to God, when we sit down and say, God, here's my list today. These are the things I would like you to take on my behalf. When we have our healing and communion service here, I give the folks a time of just quiet time being with the Lord. And I'm guilty of this. The only reason I'm calling them out on it because I'm the same way. That initial moments of silence, I get a little nervous because I'm supposed to be listening for what God has to tell me. We pray, we petition God for our things we need in our lives, want in our lives for others, but we take a time of quietness to listen to God. Do you listen twice as much to God than you do asking God, speaking to God? Think about it. That's hard for us to do. Verse 19 is telling us to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. You ever get angry with God?
Yes.
God, I've been praying this prayer for years. What's up? God's still listening. He just had that conversation this week. In God's world, that second that He takes to react to your prayer could be years for us. Because there's a lesson in that to be learned. Quick to listen, slow to speak. We need to hear the Word of God read for ourselves fully. I hope you would say you attend the church that the pastor preaches from the Word of God. That's my goal. When I became a pastor, I said, I'm not making this stuff up on my own because I'll mess this up. I'm only going to preach from the Scripture. If I try to put my take on this, chances are we're in trouble. You read it for yourself. You hear it from others. Hopefully you attend the church that preaches from the Gospel. And you spend time throughout your week in some sort of Bible reading. As I told the children, do you need to read the entire book of Proverbs every week? No. You ever read your Bible and one line, maybe one word in there, impacts your life profoundly, changes your life? It's not about the quantity. You don't have to sit down every night and read an entire chapter in the Bible. But you read there long enough to be inspired by the Word of God. Amen? Now that makes it a little easier, doesn't it? Because if I sent you home every night to read 25 pages in the Bible, you would say, oh, no. But what I would like to say is, sit down and open your Bible up, have a Bible reading plan, and every evening read until God speaks to you through that Word. And then listen. And then listen for what He's telling you in that moment. Some nights for me, that could be a 15-second reading, and He spoke to me. Sometimes I could read an entire book of the Bible and look for impact in my life. So the first thing we need to do is hear the Word. James goes on to say, it's not just okay to hear the Word. We've got to accept the Word. Now, how many of us read the Bible and say, yeah, that's nice. That's a nice history lesson. That's a nice story. That's nice for something else. That's for someone else. We have to accept what we're reading and these words, these holy words of God, We accept them for what they're telling us. How are you with that? Are you easy to accept what God tells you here? We try, don't we? Now, Marie, we try. We try to accept this. Only if it doesn't infringe on what I want to do on Saturday. Actually, I'm better on Saturday. That's crazy. I would have to pick another night. But whenever that time is, if it's not changing our lives, then why do it? It's a waste of time, isn't it? Can it change your lives if we accept the Word of God despite ourselves? We hear this in testimony all the time. I was a wretched person. I'm the wretch the song was written about. And God changed my life. Despite my wretchedness, despite my wanting to be wretched, God spoke to me and changed my life. We've got to accept the Word of God. I came across this inscription on a Bible in my reading this week. On the front cover of a Bible, it said, "This book will keep you from sin. Sin will keep you from this book. This book will keep you from sin, and sin will keep you from this book." That's pretty powerful. It's true. If we allow sin to control our lives, this book is not going to have anything for us. We've got to accept what we're hearing. Accept and hear the God, the Word of God. And in verse 21 in the scripture, James is telling us something. We have got to get rid of something in our lives. If we have sin in our life, we've heard the Word and we accept it, are we able to keep sin in our life? Well, yes, we are able to. Do we want to? If we're hearing and living out the Word of God, are we hearing and living out the Word of God and being transformed by it? If we're hearing and accepting the Word of God and we're not transformed, who's at fault? But who's at fault? We have to get rid of those things in our lives that cause us, for one, to turn from the Word. You know, last week I really hammered home this whole devil and Satan thing. We don't necessarily like to hear that in the world. But we all seem to agree that Satan is alive and well in our world today, isn't he? I told you last week, he's not out here to just ruin your life he does that. But he's here to make you complacent. He's here to make you comfortable. He's here for you to hear and to hear the Word of God, but not accept the Word of God. What he wants. He don't care if you read the Bible. Go ahead. Read it. He probably is encouraging you to read it. But then he tells you, let's go party. Let's get away from that Word. We don't have to live by that. You read it. Come on, that's enough. That's the devil telling you it's okay to read it. Just don't accept it for what it is. Makes us think. But James is saying here that our heart is like a garden. We have some gardeners in here. Where's Miss Ann? Miss Ann's a gardener. Miss Ann, you go back in your garden plot and you put some corn in the... Oh, no, you like beans. Okay, she puts beans in the ground. You know that woman goes out there and eats the beans right off the plant? And then maybe as well. And I'm a good boy because she said, "You eat this." I said, "Yes, ma'am." But I have yet to see Miss Ann go out there and put some little bean seeds in the ground and then stand there and wait for tomatoes to come up. Wait, you don't do that, do you? Okay. Our heart is like a garden. What we plant is what it produces. That's what we get out of it. If we plant evil in our heart, what are we going to get out of it? Are we going to have a sharp tongue for people? That moron in public is putting a doggone big can of bushy baked beans on my bread and swish it. What a moron.
We got it.
That's not living and accepting the Word of God in our lives. It's the habits that we sow in our hearts. It's how we reach out to others that matter. Now here we go again. Oh man, we got to help others. I'm sick of this. I'm tired of helping others. I help myself, and everyone should help themselves. Help themselves. Help themselves, too. Help themselves. I do. Let them. We could have been to a mass out of accountability groups. Different fourth end movements, Kairos, Crystals, those different things. You probably heard those terms bandied about it. Some. If we're to live this life, isn't it good to have someone holding us accountable?
Yes.
Can we do it on our own?
No.
I meet with a group of Emmaus brothers on Friday mornings for breakfast. And if we know something's going on in somebody's life, and they come to breakfast on Friday morning, we grab them by the collar and say, "What are you thinking? Get out of that. What are you doing?" No, we don't do that. But what we do, we say, "Is that really where God is leading you? Is that really what God is placing on your heart to do? Why are you doing that?" We need accountability, folks. If we don't have someone or some group, for me it takes a group. I don't know that one person could ever hold me accountable for anything. I need a group that bobs my ears around, bobs my ears. You ever hear that? I need people in my life to keep me on track. We've got to make a choice to rid our lives of the filthy weeds. Miss Ann, you weed your garden, don't you?
Yes, sir.
If you were to plant your little beans in the ground and didn't weed around them, what would come up first? And what would come up healthier and bigger? The weeds. So we've got to weed the garden, folks. We've got to get away from those things that takes us from the Word of God. The third thing James is telling us here, we need to do what we say. We need to do the Word. Do the Word of God. I jumped ahead of myself before because now we're doing something about it. Ran across this story. They did a survey of researchers. There was the American Heart Association were meeting, and all these doctors and nurses and researchers, just thousands and thousands of them, gathered to discuss, among other things, the importance of a low-fat diet plays in keeping our hearts healthy and happy. So the researcher went around and watched all these people eat their lunch. They were eating those cheeseburgers and fries. They were eating all these bad things. This researcher asked one of the cardiologists, "You preach about this good diet. Why are you out here eating this junk food? Aren't you held accountable for this? Aren't you representing the things you said?" He said, "No, not me. I took my name badge off." He wasn't representing a cardiologist or the American Heart Association. He took his name badge off. He put the Bible away, and then he said, "Oh, I have the name tag off. I can do what I want." That makes it okay, huh? We disconnect our knowledge from our behavior. That strikes a little close to home, too, doesn't it? I say generally people know right from wrong, right?
Yeah.
Don't we generally know right from wrong?
Amen.
We let our knowledge slip away from our behavior. Our behavior is what people see. If I were to stand up here and preach the Word of God every week, there's a comedian on the radio the other day talking about, oh boy, this is not bashing Baptists, but they were using the joke on the radio, so I guess I can repeat it.
You know, comedians, they work in bars and things and shows, alcohol being served, and he was telling a joke about people, you know, engaging in those sort of things. And he said, the Baptists in the room, don't speak to me if you're here drinking or something. See, I've already messed that up because I'm not a comedian. But the point he was making was like this researcher got caught eating a big old cheeseburger. The week we go out and hang out in bars, and then on Sunday morning we show up in church all full of ourselves. And letting our purity shine. We've got to let God's Word change us. Change us for the good, right? Not for the bad. I can use my wife as an example here. Don't you see a lot of Christians marking up their Bible? Marking down notes. I love that. But if you look at mine, there's not one mark in mine. Because when I need to write something in mine, I put a little sticky note in there. I don't mark it, I just put a little sticky note so I keep my Bible clean. Well, trust me, it's okay to write your Bible. Look at hers. Hers is full of writing. That's okay. But as Christians, if we're just marking our Bibles, how willing are we to allow our Bibles to mark us? We can mark our Bibles all day, but if our Bibles don't mark us, we're wasting our time. We read in the scripture of the mirror, verses 23 through 35. James is talking about a mirror. Why do we look in the mirror? Why do men look in the mirror? I look in the mirror to shave and then look at the damage I've done. Where's the neck wrinkles? Where's all the pillow marks on my face? Why do women look in the mirror? They look in the mirror to find ways to cover up some of those things. Men are just saying, are they there? Men and women look in the mirror for different reasons. Maybe it's to see a new worry line. But what we see in the mirror can profoundly affect us, right? It can impact us, right? That's what James is saying here. How do we look into the mirror of God's Word? Sometimes it's very superficial. Like I said earlier, we can read something in the Bible and it's right over our head. Okay, I've done my reading, I'm going to bed, I don't even remember what I just read. I do that. Do any of you do that? You read something, close your Bible, and then say, boy, that was, what was that again? Just that quick, it's gone. It didn't impact you. And then we move into this talking phase. We read our Bible and then we pray. We read our Bible and then tell God what we want. It's listening. We need to get below the surface. Anyone here have imperfections below the surface? We have enough imperfections on the surface, but boy, don't we have some under the surface. That we're trying to hide from one another, right? Don't we try to hide our imperfections? We try to hide them. You gotta keep looking. We keep looking, God will bless you. He will mold you. He will turn you in to a purer person than you are today. We have to read, accept, and do the Word of God until transformation occurs. Amen?
Amen?
There has to be transformation. If we do all this, if you come to church every Sunday and there's not transformation, why are you here? You're just filling a seat for an hour or so. There's got to be transformation. Transformation is slow a lot of times, isn't it? It's too slow for me. But we've got to do it. In Exodus, it tells of an account of Moses that when he was in the presence of God, you remember that? He wanted to see what God was like. And God granted. He put him in the cleft of the rock. The presence passed behind him. And Moses went back to his people. What happened? What was happening to him? He was glowing, wasn't he? Glowing in the dark, Moses. What did he do? He put a veil over himself to go back to the people because
They knew something was wrong, but what happened? He started fading out. The presence, that glowing, ebbed away. It ebbed away. 2 Corinthians, Paul is telling us of this. We hear, accept, and do the will of God, but a supernatural transformation occurs in our lives. Paul wrote, "And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit." How many of you feel like you're glowing this morning? You know, that's a sad thing because even I'm like, boy, I wish I could glow with the power of the Holy Spirit within me. I don't know, that's tough for us. But that's what Paul is telling us in Corinthians. He's telling us that we are being transformed. You know what that looks like? James points it out to you in verses 26 and 27. We let it affect us. We don't end in here. We accept it. But it's up to us to determine what we do with it. It's up to us to do with it what we're supposed to. We become more like God, we think less of ourselves. Did any of you experience that? The more you become in tune and in touch with God, the less you think of yourself. I think that's the point here. Our life depends on God's mercy and grace. Without it, are we hopeless? We're kind of hopeless, aren't we? We're a little bit hopeless. In Jesus Christ, the Word became flesh. And John wrote, "The flesh lived, dwelt among us." Jesus has come and done something great for you. Accept the gift. Change your life. Transform yourselves. That's what He calls. He's done it on our behalf. He's in the process of transforming us with a pure heart. Amen. I hope you leave here today feeling your hearts are just a little more pure. That you can hear the Word of God, you will accept the Word of God, and then you will do the Word of God. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this powerful message from James today. Father, we pray that not only do we just hear your Word in our daily lives, that we accept it and then we do your Word. Father, bless us now as we prepare to leave this place as changed, transforming people. Let us hear your Word with new vigor. Let us hear it with new meaning. Father, bless us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And if you would please stand for our hymn of going forth.
Folks,
you've been given a gift. You've also been given the gift of giving. You need to take this word of God and hear it, accept it, and do it. And there again, helping others. Receive this benediction. Father God, we are grateful for the words of James, for the blessings of your Son, Jesus Christ, to save us. And Father, the words of this hymn are exactly the message spoken of today. Thank you for that. It's in Christ's holy and precious name that we leave you here, being transformed into the image of God. Amen.
Okay.